Let us hear now from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I grew up going to a disciples church camp called Camp Wakandaho in Yosemite, Kentucky. Yes, that's exactly how we said it, not Yosemite, Yosemite. It's kind of like how Versailles, Kentucky is really pronounced Versailles. I met a guy once that he said he was from Versailles, Kentucky, and I said, no, you're not. I loved growing up at that camp. So much of who I am was shaped by that place. It was there I first heard God calling me into ministry. Many of the friends that I call when I need it most are my camp friends. And it was camp where I came to realize that faith was not as simple and as straightforward as I would have liked it to be. Camp is pretty special. I'm sure there's some other folks in here that might agree with that. And after having the privilege to go to now 8 different Disciples Church camps, soon to be 9, what's up, LaFerrée? I am more and more convinced that that church camp is one of the purest embodiments of the table that we have in the world. It's a camp that so many people find belonging, that our young folks grow in the grasp of what love is, where we learn how to be open and vulnerable, where people affirm each other as created in God's image and claim that truth openly. It's pretty cool. Growing up at Wakandaho, we had small groups. Some folks might call them family groups. The idea is the same, and we would meet twice a day throughout the week. Small group time was where we shared the deep stuff, and we processed all those big questions together. We'd laugh together, we would cry together, and by the end of the week, we were a close-knit group. At the high school camp especially, the last small group was always reserved for affirmations. Each group did it in their own way that was appropriate to them, but the idea was consistent. In closing our time together, we would take time to give thanks to each individual person in the group. We'd share with them how we experience God through their presence, naming the gifts that they possess, and we expressed openly our gratitude for each other. Y'all, those closing affirmation circles would last for hours. As a camp director, it was honestly kind of a nightmare. You'd have closing worship scheduled for 9 that night, and we would rarely start before 11. I remember getting on the loudspeaker my last year as the director at Wakandaho to call my brother's group down because they were going way too long. Turns out he had built a campfire at his small group shelter, and they were in no rush to come down anytime soon. But as a camper, and even as a small group counselor, those times of affirmation are still some of the most meaningful and memorable moments of my life. It's a little uncomfortable, and it's vulnerable sharing so deeply with each other, yet when I reflect on the communities that have taught me what love is and how to love, I notice that the willingness to openly give thanks and express our gratitude for each other has been central. In giving thanks for each other and taking the time to notice and be grateful before sending each other off into the real world, we were growing in love. So Paul is writing a letter from prison to a community called the Philippians. He opens his letter like he typically does with a greeting and expression of thanksgiving. Yet this letter to the Philippians feels different. It almost feels like we're reading Paul's contribution to his small group's affirmation circle on the last night of camp. The opening thanksgiving Paul writes here is one of his longest in any of his letters, and it reflects an intimacy and enthusiastic love for the Philippian church. I thank my God every time I remember you. I am constantly praying in joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. How I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. Side note here, the NRSV translation that I read this morning uses the word compassion, but in other translations, the Greek word says he cherishes them with the bowels of Christ Jesus. In other words, he physically feels his love for them in the deepest pit of his stomach. I think Paul is being vulnerable here. This letter opens with an intimate affirmation and expression of gratitude. Paul is openly recognizing the good things coming out of Philippi, and he is unafraid to name it. As I reflect on this text, I wonder how it feels for this community to read this letter together. To hear such acknowledgement of their hard work, to feel that love and gratitude expressed so explicitly, I imagine they were invigorated. I imagine they were sustained to continue to move forward in the work of the gospel. As Paul's pastoral letters often do, he turns from thanksgiving to a call to action. After sharing in his affirmation of the church, he offers his prayer for them, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight. Paul is calling on the Philippian church to continue to grow in its love for God and for the world. Yet, as I read this, I am overwhelmingly struck by the fact that this call to action starts with an expression of gratitude. Through his sharing of affirmation, his sharing of thanks, Paul is building his community up. Perhaps before we can grow in love, we have to first give thanks. In her book, Daring Greatly, has anybody read that one? That's an easy joke to make. Brené Brown, she describes this culture of scarcity that has come to define our society. As she puts it, one of our first thoughts when we wake up is, I didn't get enough sleep. I actually said that this morning. The next is, I don't have enough time. Scarcity, she says, is the never enough problem. We spend so much time thinking about the things that we lack. We compare ourselves, constantly assessing what we don't have but feel like we need. We're convinced we're only as good as the number of likes we get on Facebook or Instagram. As a result, we feel shame, and we disengage with the world around us. This never enough problem feels so noisy to me. From a personal sense, I can relate to those feelings of how overwhelming it is to constantly worry about whether or not I am enough. To add to that noise, I look for good news on my Twitter feed only to find bad news, and I find myself in disappointment overload. And I wonder if we have forgotten how to be human with each other. We can lose each other in all of this mess. And then I remember a pastor friend of mine who said, sometimes I wonder if we are bankrupt of gratitude. Reading this section of Paul's letter during the season of Thanksgiving feels particularly fitting. Expressing gratitude requires us to pay attention. It forces us to recognize each other. Affirmation strengthens relationship. Giving thanks to God for each other and to each other sustains us for the work that we do. Paul's letter reminds us that not just being thankful, but giving thanks helps us to grow in our work of loving the world. For Paul's community and our own, being willing to share our recognition and gratitude for each other helps us to build a resilient community. Before we grow in love, we first give thanks. Yet we know that this is easier said than done. I remember the anxious knots in my stomach waiting for my turn to share affirmations in my small group at camp. It is hard to be that open and honest with people. It requires vulnerability. However, this is a church that I think is willing to dare greatly. We've talked a lot about vulnerability over the last couple months, and one of the most vulnerable things that we can do is not just tell each other we're thankful for each other, but why we're thankful for each other. In a world where so many feel insignificant, giving thanks is being willing to recognize and name the significance of each individual person. It is saying, you are enough. I see you. I see you as a beloved and wonderful creation of God. As Diana Butler Bass writes, gratitude is social. It is about presence and participation and partnership. It is about being with one another in life together. In other words, gratitude is a spiritual discipline. It is something that is practiced in our everyday lives, acted out in our relationship with each other, helping to cultivate communities rooted in love and belonging. As people of faith, I think that is our challenge. To take the risk to express gratitude and to literally give thanks. In doing so, we are building communities that are loving and healing. And it's through affirmation we are growing into a deep love. Not a love, as Fred Craddock says, that is sentimental and easy and grins at the wrong time, but a love that is joined in knowing and understanding, to probing and discerning, to putting itself to the test in real life situations. It is through our vulnerable recognition of the significance of each other that we are building resilience. Ultimately, as Diana Butler Bass goes on to say, gratitude is the sharing of good with others wherever we are, sometimes simply because we still have life and breath left in our bodies. And we still have the ability to act with compassion toward others and to create justice together. In that pathway, gratitude becomes the capacity to stand up in the face of fear and despair and sorrow and say, we are people alive and breathing here. We are together at this table. We have the capacity to resist those forces that would take life away from us, and together we can keep passing gratitude into the world. Y'all, I think the world needs that. It needs a community of people courageous and willing to see each other and give thanks for each other openly and honestly. It needs people willing to show up to the table together. We are reminded in this season of Thanksgiving that to really give thanks is to take the time to notice, to share what you see, and to affirm one another as loved in the image of God. In doing so, we begin to live into and build the foundation to fulfill that prayer that Paul prays, that we might be a people through which love overflows.